Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. I trust that we're here this morning because we want to hear from God. We want to be taught in His Word. And I feel blessed this morning already. We have heard, and I was blessed by things that James shared there with us. And especially thinking, it just felt like he was teaching in some of the same areas that I've been pondering on and would like to share on. A week ago, I had been just looking at the life of Jesus, and I shared some on that Sunday evening. And something that stood out to me, especially as I was looking at that, is how Jesus had compassion and was cared about those in need, and it seemed like that related to the poor people, because they physically are in need, and so they see their need more so than those that have life all going for them at times, I guess. So this morning I trust and pray that we are a needy people, speaking spiritually especially. We can be it's not based on our bank accounts or our job security that makes us eligible to be needy this morning, but rather seeing who we are without Christ. And if we recognize what He's done for us, we can we fall in that category of being needy this morning. The title for my message this morning is Having Compassion Like Jesus. And I'd like to just look at some verses and see Jesus' heart in this, and also His heart for our lives as we live. Maybe we can just stand, and I'd like to have prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before You this morning with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity that we have to be gathered together here. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your love towards us, Lord, that You were willing to suffer and die, and that You rose again that we might have life. And Lord, I thank You for the plan that You have for each one of us, and that You're looking for willing hearts, Lord, to serve You. I pray this morning, Lord, that we would be some of those people that would have willing hearts. And I just pray, Lord, that You would work that out in each one of our hearts and lives. I do pray this morning for those that might be listening in here this morning. I just pray, Lord, that You would minister to their hearts, to their needs, Lord. We do want to commit this service to You, and we pray, Lord, that Your will would be accomplished. We thank You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a person that I would like to just bring up. Someone that I work for, and I actually lived with them for a time there. Steve Stolzfus, I know him really well, but he's currently in the hospital, and he's pretty much fighting for his life. And so if you think of him and their family, Steve and Martha Stolzfus, they could would love your prayers. Yeah, I guess it's been about 2 weeks ago Steve had an open heart surgery, and think he's been pretty much not, he's, yeah, it hasn't gone very well. And so pray that God's will would be accomplished in all of that. If you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and there's two verses here in this chapter that I'd like to start out with. Going down to verse 17 and 18. But whoso has this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Before I go further, I do want to share that I feel blessed by each one of you in the compassion and the love and the care that I see coming from many lives here. And I'm blessed and challenged in that way. And so I'm not here teaching that we don't do these things, but rather I would like to encourage us in these areas in our lives that we would not get weary or discouraged, but rather that we would continue and go deeper with these things. And so as I teach this morning, that's my heart as we listen to God's word in this. We see here in these two verses here that if we observe needs and do nothing, that it's not a very caring attitude. Compassion moves us into action. And it doesn't just say some nice words, but it is in deed and in truth. And if we turn to Mark chapter 1, we see an example here of Jesus, and we see his compassion reaching out as there was a need, and we see that coming forth many times, but this is just one example here. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 here, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. We see this man coming to Jesus, recognizing his need, and he asks Jesus to help him. We see in verse 41 that Jesus moved with compassion and said, I will, be thou clean. And he was healed. In Luke chapter 15, we see in that passage there the story of the lost son, the prodigal son, the son that had chosen he wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to experience living life outside of being and doing what he was used to doing at home. And we see here that his father was waiting and watching for his son to hopefully sometime come back. And it says there, I think in Luke chapter 15, verse 20, that his father saw his son coming, and it says that he had compassion on him and ran and embraced him and kissed him, and he received his son and made him feel welcome, and there was a relationship was restored there in that account. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 and following in the story about Jesus and the widow's mite. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. We take note of this account here. We see Jesus was watching these people giving. And there was probably many here that it would appear like probably gave lots. But Jesus doesn't really bring them to the forefront, but rather he notices this widow that didn't have much. And we can see that her heart was in the cause here, and she gave out of her necessity. And Jesus points that out, that she gave, and it probably hurt. It was something that she needed. But her giving was noticed by Jesus, and I'm sure that she received her reward at some point in time. In Luke chapter 7, verse 22, there John was wondering who Jesus was in. And Jesus shared with the disciples there the things that were going on. And one thing that he pointed out is that the gospel is preached to the poor. And we notice as we look into God's word, in Jesus' time, that God's word has a lot to say about the poor or those that are less important. And I was amazed as I just looked into some of that. And we look into the Old Testament and we see time and time again it talking about those that are in need and how important it was to take care of them. And I'll just look at just a couple of passages, because there's many, many passages that talk about this. In Exodus chapter 22, verse 22, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Do not take advantage of these people. It's important. It was important then to be caring and to take care of them, even as it is now. In Leviticus chapter 19, and this verse stood out to me, and I'd like for us to just remember this passage here, verse 10. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Sometimes we want to make sure nothing goes to waste. And here the teaching was to, as they are harvesting their crops, to on purpose leave things behind to provide for those that were, maybe their crops failed. They were unable to take care of their own needs. And it was, they were taught to leave some of those things behind so they would have means to provide for themselves. Verse 15 in Leviticus chapter 19. Ye shall do not know unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Not to be partial, to treat individuals alike, whether they're poor, whether they're rich, whether they're popular, whether they're not so popular. It was important to treat people the same, just as we are taught now. Proverbs 14, verse 31, if we honor the poor, we honor God. If we honor the poor, we honor God. Proverbs 19, verse 17, who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. If we are helping those that are needy in whatever way that they're needy, we are giving to the Lord. In Proverbs 22, verse 2, the rich and the poor, the Lord is the creator of both. Something that we know, and we just think we do. It's good to be reminded of these things. Proverbs 16, verse 19. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Who do we want to be part of? John chapter 12. In this account here, going down to verse 3, we see Mary was washing Jesus' feet with ointment, and she was criticized for being wasteful. It was probably worth a bit. Starting in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. So here we see Mary was giving something to Jesus, and it had value. And she was criticized for her deeds because there was selfish hearts in the room that didn't understand and didn't care about others. At times, maybe we find ourselves in that place, and people, the heart is right, but people criticize the things that are going on. And we see Jesus speaking into that. And let's, if we find ourselves in these places, let's not be discouraged. Let's listen to the words of Jesus and allow him to comfort us. Psalms chapter 9, verse 9. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Again and again we see God reaching out to those that are struggling, that are hardly making it, and the promises that we can get from his word. In James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And then in chapter 2, verse 2-6, for if there come unto you your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? A warning here on how we treat people again. Not being partial, taking care of those that are in need, and not being influenced by those people that are, in the world's eyes, are important or popular or seems like they have life together. And I think there's something in us that when we feel like someone has life together, we gravitate towards them and we want to be like them, especially if it's people that are accepted. And often, not always, but often in this world, those people that are accepted and promoted in the world, especially their love for the Lord and God's word isn't there. And so if we need to be aware that we don't follow our fleshly desires in that, but rather that we would have a heart of compassion like we see Jesus doing so many times. Often in today's world, when we look at helping people, helping the poor and caring, it seems like there's so many things in place in this day and age that it feels at times that it makes it difficult to really have an impact or knowing that our giving is being helpful. And when we look at the poor and those that are in need are so often taken care of by the state, at the expense of all of us, that pay taxes when we give or want to give in a way that is helpful to people in God honoring and bears fruit, it's easy for these people to actually go other places where that gift is free. It doesn't really cost them anything. And they're used to just sitting there and doing nothing and continuing to get gifts. And so it makes it harder for us to find maybe real needs that will not enable them to be enable them to live the lifestyle that they think that they want to live. But I just want to encourage us in that there are many people out there, many needy people, and they need you. They need the church. And they're, even in the midst of that, they are looking for answers. And so let's not be weary in these things. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, a verse that was read earlier, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. A verse that reminds us that as we have opportunity, we're called to do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Points out all men. It points out that we are to especially take note of those that are walking with Jesus. Sometimes, maybe often, giving and helping people is not actually giving the thing that is the easiest to do. For those of us that have jobs and live in this land, often probably the thing that costs us the least is to pull out a little bit of cash and say, here you go. And that's often what people think they need, what they want. How do we discern? How can we be wise in that? I think we need to pray that God would give us eyes that we can see, that we can understand hearts, and obviously, if we want to understand hearts and their real needs, it's going to cost us something that often we think that we don't have, and that is time. It takes time to get to know people, get to take the time to really help them. Stopping and helping someone and taking them to their destination because of many reasons takes time that we often feel like we don't have. If we give wisely. We give in a way that gives them opportunity. It puts them in a place that will give them opportunity to grow, to change. I believe that is the biggest gift that we can give someone. And it's probably going to be the most expensive gift that we can give, because it means getting involved in people's lives. Back to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22 there, looking at that account of when they're taking their crops in. And they were instructed to leave things behind for those that were in need. They didn't harvest everything. They could have harvested the whole crop and brought it in, and then taking it, giving it to the people in hand, in person. But they were instructed there to leave things behind for those that had needs. If I understand that account correctly, the only way that these people were able to get these things is if they had to go out in the fields and glean. They had to pick the things that were left behind. Giving them opportunity to provide for themselves. Someone that they were eager to change their situation. The question that I'd like to ask ourselves: and as we see the life of Jesus, we see Jesus helping people and changing lives. How can we take that principle that we see, how can we apply that into our lives? Not to do the easy thing. The easy thing is someone has a need, we just give in because it's the right thing to do. And sometimes that is the right thing. How do we discern that? We can't find, I don't believe that we can find a text, a passage, and that gives us that answer, other than that we need to, it is important that we're in tune with God, and that we, as opportunities come up, which tells us in Galatians 6, verse 10, that as opportunities come up, that we're in tune. We hear from God. And then we do in faith what we believe God would have us to do. And we do it for Jesus. As we practice, as we take on the challenge of helping people, giving them opportunity, making sure that we don't get discouraged from people who reject your gifts, who reject the opportunities that you provide for them. But remember that we had done it for Jesus. many times, maybe the things that we have to offer, especially if the only thing that the people can see is the need that they have is cash, something that will buy them whatever they think they need. Many people are convinced that if they have enough of money that they could buy their happiness, which we know is false. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, going down to verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Helping those that are in need. It's easy for us to reach out to those that are needy, that fell in bad circumstances, found themselves robbed, broken, laying along the road in an accident. We have compassion on, it's easy to have compassion on those people and reach out and help them. We're not only called to reach out to these people, those that are friendly, but in this passage here, verse 20, we're called to have the same compassion to those that are actually unfriendly to us. Those that have ill feelings towards us. It says those that are our enemies. Maybe those that are jealous about something that we have. If he hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And then in verse 21, it reminds us, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This passage here, having compassion on someone that falls in this category, is something that we won't accomplish in our own fleshly desires. We like to, our flesh likes to wish what people deserve. It likes to get even. If you punch me, it feels good to punch back. You messed up my day, I want to mess up your day. That's what the flesh likes to do. But Jesus calls us to do something else. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And we need to have a relationship, a continual relationship with God, in order to see that worked out in our lives. Because it's easy to be going along, at least this is my experience, it's very easy to be going along in my day and someone does something that I don't appreciate.
And something rises up within me that's like, well, you've got it coming.
So unless the Spirit of God awakens me and reminds me, then the flesh rises up and has its way. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. In the heart that we reach out to people, in the heart that we give, in the measure that we give, we're reminded here in this passage that Jesus sees our heart. He sees in the measure that we give. We can put on an outward appearance, and it can look good. But I believe that in this passage we see that the heart is seen, and it's going to be noticed, and it's going to be measured to you again. In Matthew chapter 25, in closing, as we think about this, having compassion like Jesus. And I believe that it is Jesus' heart for us to show that. But in Matthew 25, in verse 31 to 46, we see in this account, in judgment, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another. Two groups of people being separated, all nations and two people groups. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And as we continue reading that passage, we see the same thing was mentioned to the unjust, is that they were unwilling to do those things. They were living life for themselves, and they didn't care. Their primary focus was on living life for themselves, what benefited them the most. And they were accountable for that. They didn't have time or they didn't care. The one group of people did it for Jesus. The other group didn't do it. And if they did, there was selfish motives involved. In Mark, just one more verse here, in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus here saw a large crowd of people. He felt compassion for them. It says because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So as we look at Scripture this morning, as we look at the life of Jesus, as we look at the heart of God and his desire for us, we can give in many ways. We see Jesus' life reaching out with a heart of compassion in giving, in healing, in encouraging, in teaching. But the heart motive was always that they would find peace in God. And that is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to, as we live our lives, he wants people to see his compassion through us, to bring them to himself, that we would show Jesus' heart as we journey through this life here. As we travel on the road from place to place, as we live in our homes, as people have opportunity to come into our homes, that they would see Jesus. As we find ourselves in our workplace, and people notice that this person isn't just working for the rewards of a paycheck, but that it's much more. Those things will get people's attention. It will give us opportunity to teach, to show them Jesus. Both in our actions and in words, we will find ourselves having opportunity to tell them about Jesus. May God bless you as you seek those things out in your life, as we allow God to help us to grow in this area.